It's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. This is music from a film called Mud, which I have a feeling we will be discussing at some point. We are, in fact, talking about the best and worst movies of 2013. Eric Childress, Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com join me every Saturday to review movies, and then we do this once a year. And so we'll give you a recap on the movies so far. We are in our top 10 right now. So let me recap really quickly. Number 20 on my list is You're Next. 19 is Evil Dead. 18, Warm Bodies. 17, The Way Way Back. 16, Fast and Furious 6. 15, Short Term 12. 14, Prisoners. 13, The Dallas Buyers Club. 12, Disconnect. 11, The Spectacular Now. And then number 10 on my top 10 list is The World's End. Colin?
Number 20, Prince Avalanche. Number 19, The Past. Number 18, 20 Feet from Stardom. Number 17, This is Martin Bonner. Number 16, Our Nixon. Number 15, Blue is the Warmest Color. 14, Upstream Color. 13, Inside Llewyn Davis. 12, Stories We Tell. 11, We Are What We Are. And 10, The World's End.
Okay, my number 20 was I Declare War. 19, Drinking Buddies. 18, Enough Said. 17, Blanca Nieves. 16, We Are What We Are. 15, The Conjuring. 14, How to Make Money Selling Drugs. 13, The Act of Killing. 12, Short Term 12. 11, Side Effects. And number 10, Inside Llewyn Davis.
All right. So we'll continue with our top 10 list. Really quick, though, Brian leaves his favorites on the show's Facebook page, and he put them in alphabetical order. American Hustle, Before Midnight, Chinese Zodiac, which is Jackie Chan's final action film, Francis Ha, Gravity, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis, Key of Life, which is an awesome Japanese comedy, he says, Nebraska, and This is the End, and then in parentheses he says, Sorry, Nick.
I do not get the love, this love for Francis Ha.
Yeah, I don't either.
I didn't hate it. But I wouldn't include it as one of the best films of the year. But I've seen it on a lot of lists.
A lot of lists. Yeah.
Well, it's in black and white, Eric. Come
on. Oh, right. It's groundbreaking. Black and white.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I like his movies. This one, and I've included his movies a lot on my
Greenberg.
My top 10 list. Yeah, I like that movie too. All right, here we go. Number 9 on my list was mentioned already. It's Stories We Tell, the Sarah Polley tremendous documentary. A very unusual and very open film that is, I think, pretty brave. As you mentioned, Colin, that it was pretty brave of her to put this movie together. She's turned out to be just so spectacularly talented, this girl. Not only a terrific actress, but she's made some great films. And this is one of them, one of the best documentaries of the year. And it turns out to be a lot more than just the focusing on her family. It turns out to be much more than that. And a really wonderful film. Stories We Tell, number 9 on my list.
Number 9 on my list is a movie that Sergio mentioned, a movie called The Hunt. It's about a kindergarten teacher who is wrongly accused of sexually molesting one of his students. And it's a pretty gripping film. I think a better film than Prisoners, which is the same kind of film of its type, you know, community dealing with, you know, something that is rather unthinkable. And I just think the performances of the movie are spectacular. I wasn't sure what was going to happen with this guy. And, you know, a pretty unsettling film in terms of, you know, what can happen to a teacher when, you know, a student makes an accusation that is way off base but seemingly innocent to that student. The Hunt is number 9 on my list.
All right, Eric.
Number 9 on my list is Captain Phillips, Paul Greengrass's account of Somali pirates kidnapping from a few years back. Tom Hanks's performance in the movie is a reminder of why, you know, we all love Tom Hanks, because it seems like, you know, when a role like this, he can seemingly do no wrong.
The last few minutes are unbelievable.
The last few minutes is exactly the kind of thing that puts it over the top. Really, I mean, the setup of the movie is incredibly gripping. Then you have this middle section where it's, you know, it's just them basically in a locked lifeboat for better part of an hour. To me, the final 20 minutes of the movie are even more gripping than what we saw in Zero Dark Thirty. The whole section of the rescue sequence and the final 20 minutes where Tom Hanks just unleashes all of his emotions in that final scene is really just incredible, and you cannot forget it leaving the theater. So Captain Phillips made that high.
All right, number 9 on your list. All right, number 8 on my list is Before Midnight, which is Richard Linklater's latest chapter in the trilogy, telling the story of the two characters played by Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke. The first one was made in 1995. It was called Before Sunrise, and then Before Sunset came out in what year?
2004.
2004, and then this one opened this year. I think it's the best of the three, with some really wonderful dialogue. You know, the opening shot is, what is it, like 9 minutes long, just the one
take.
Once they leave the airport and they get in the car, and it's just this wonderful dialogue that was all done in one take.
Driving, no less,
that's right. And, you know, it was written by the two of them and Richard Linklater, and this is clearly a labor of love for everybody involved. And a film of remarkable truths. There's a long sequence at the end of this movie in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Painful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's also some really wonderful stuff where they're all sitting around outdoor eating at a table. There's some beautiful speeches there. It's just great stuff. I know we're going to hear again about it. But number 8 on my list is Before Midnight. All right.
Number 8 on my list. You're right, Nick. We're going to hear about it. Mud. Another great. It was a great year for coming of age movies. You know, and this was this is the best one. Well, okay, maybe not. There's another one I just saw on my list. It might be. But no, this is a great, great movie from a director that I was sort of on the fence about at first. But now he gets better and better with each movie. And also a terrific performance by this young kid, Ty Sheridan, who is, God, what a career this kid is starting out with. He starts out with Tree of Life, then Mud, and now he's going to be in the David Gordon Green movie, Joe. Like, these three directors, that's what you're starting with?
He's good in Joe, too.
Wow. All right. He's on. This kid has, like, got his future set, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to hear more about this, I'm sure. So, okay. My number 8 is Mud.
All right.
Number 8, I think, is our first roundabout in the top 10. The World's End is my number 8 choice. And there's so much going on in this movie beyond what you were even talking about, Nick, that... It shows you how good the next 7 movies are on my list, because this movie could have been a lot higher on any number of other years. A film about growing up or not growing up, it's a film that is this remarkable roundabout take on alcoholism.
Yeah.
And it really sneaks up on you, and yet it's a comedy through and through.
Yeah, you know, the whole 12 stages thing.
The whole 12 stages, that they actually meet a higher power by the end of the movie, have to deal with the higher power.
In hilarious fashion.
Yeah. Listening to the commentary, and like the fourth time I had seen this movie, it gives you much even a greater appreciation of how magnificent the screenplay actually is, including things that I picked up on that then they confirmed. So I was proud of myself. But no, The World's End, it's just a remarkable conclusion to sort of this unofficial Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's the first one that's made all 3 of our top 10 lists.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Number 7 on my list has been mentioned already. It's Inside Llewyn Davis. I loved this movie. I absolutely loved it, and I think Oscar Isaac is tremendous in it. I had no idea who the guy was. I had to look him up, and then I was like, "That's the dude from Drive," and I didn't even realize it. The Coen brothers—they make some really remarkable films, and I think this is just one in a long line of great films that they've made. I love the way that you analyzed it, Colin, about it being an album. It's more of like a mood piece.
Yeah.
With a great central performance and some really wonderful supporting performances, and we mentioned John Goodman, who is just great in the movie. And I love the music. The music is tremendous, and another reason to like Justin Timberlake, if you can add to the list of things the reason to like him. A remarkably strong performance by Carey Mulligan in this movie. She's got some of the most blistering dialogue and delivers it with such hatred. I mean, every time she opened her mouth, I was smiling. Every single time she would tear into this
that
guy.
Word. Yeah. She uses that one word so often, and it's wonderful.
It's outstanding. Yeah. So, the soundtrack of the year, I think. Incredible music, and just a great film. The Coen brothers did it again, and I really loved it. Inside Llewyn Davis is number 7 on my list.
Number 7 on my list is David O. Russell's American Hustle, a movie that just gets more and more entertaining every time I see it. I wasn't sure it was going to hold up on repeat viewings. I've seen it 3 times now, and every time I watch it, there's so many scenes from beginning to end that I can't wait to come on. All the stuff, particularly all the scenes with Louis C.K. and Bradley Cooper are just golden. All the scenes between Christian Bale and Jennifer Lawrence are just some of my favorite scenes of the year.
I'm not on the phone. What are you talking about?
Don't put metal in the science oven.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it's what? Oh, what a doozy you picked. Oh, that's one of my favorite lines of the year. One of my favorite line deliveries of the year. Oh my God, I love this movie. I'm going to go home and watch it right now.
There you go.
Yeah. American Hustle.
Bye, Colin.
Yeah. All right, that's number 7. Okay.
My number 7 has also been mentioned. It's Mud. Jeff Nichols' film, a film that I saw at Sundance this year. I've been in love with ever since. And it's a movie about first loves and the idea that, you know, when you have that sort of first love, you believe that love can be everlasting, that it can be forever. And this is a story about a kid who is coming to the very quick realization that that's not always true. In fact, it's often not true. It's a movie that, you know, in a very cynical way, you say women will screw you up. That's also a theme this year at the movies.
Yeah.
And not in a misogynistic way. It's a harsh truth. But no, Ty Sheridan, the best child performance of the year, in some time, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
McConaughey's great. Reese Witherspoon in a few scenes is really good. Michael Shannon,
yeah,
so funny, so funny. The advice he gives to Little Mud, it's just wonderful. Mud. If you haven't seen this, it's been on DVD for a while. So go put that on your Netflix queue immediately.
Yep. All right, number 6. The Act of Killing. We already talked about this movie. I don't quite even know what the hell to say. I mean, I was astounded by this film, absolutely astounded, and couldn't believe what I was watching. It is a remarkable film that has a very, very interesting effect on the viewer. Like, it's really, I don't know how to quite describe. It's a hard film for me to describe my reaction to, because I was repulsed, and yet I was fascinated. I thought it was funny and awful, and I seriously just kind of watching it like dumbfounded. But like, I cannot believe what I'm watching. I think it's absolutely the documentary of the year. I think it's the best documentary of the year, and it just blew me away. The Act of Killing. And by the way, I do want to mention now that we're into the top 10 here. These movies are strong, man. Because I mean, like,
we're in the section now.
Absolutely, we're in a section now where these movies could be number one in any other year.
Yeah.
Like, The Act of Killing could have been the number one film of the year, as far as I'm concerned, in any other year.
Yeah.
That's how amazingly strong these particular films are.
Yeah.
I mean, just remarkable quality in these movies. So, The Act of Killing, number 6. So we'll take a quick break, okay? And then we'll come back, Colin and Eric. You guys will give us your number 6s. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. And we're doing our annual wrap-up of the movie year, best and worst movies. And if you want to join us, we'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. That song you heard was from the surprisingly good Frozen, which I really liked.
It's good.
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, in a less than stellar year for animation, I thought it was one of the standouts. So there you go. All right, we are in the middle of doing our lists here, and we just stopped at my number 6. So, Colin, it's time for your number 6.
My number 6 is Alexander Payne's Nebraska. Seems like every year now, if this guy puts out a movie, I have to reserve a spot on my top 10 list for for whatever he does, because he makes it almost every time. The only one that didn't was The Descendants, but that made my top 15. So
I think he's made my top 10 list every year that he's made a movie.
Yeah.
The Descendants didn't make my list.
Except for Citizen Ruth didn't make my – it was in my top 20. But every other one of them has been in my top 10.
Yeah, and this is even though he didn't write it, it's classic Alexander Payne. You know, it's got all the characters that, you know, his specialty, which is just nailing Midwestern, you know, middle American behavior in a way that no other director does, in a way that just kind of makes you wince. And it, you know, it takes place in this, you know, really small, desolate town, this economically depressed town. And, you know, but it's home to these people. And, you know, even though they can't remember who owned the store before they did, you know, it's just one of those movies that it takes place in a town that you drive past right. on a road trip and wouldn't even think to stop in. But, you know, that to Alexander Payne, that's home. And his stuff is just, you know, humanist comedy is he's one of the best at it. I mean,
absolutely,
he's just great.
Yep. All right, so that's number six. Number six for Eric.
My number six was Colin's number seven, I believe. American Hustle, David O. Russell's film that holds up beautifully upon second viewing, and it's a film that's getting a lot of controversy amongst critics at the moment because people want to sort of pit it against the Scorsese film and call it faux Scorsese. And the people who are calling it that, one, are idiots, and two, are clearly not in on the joke that Russell is kind of pulling on them. The idea that, you know, he's clearly very aware that he's doing a faux Scorsese film, right down to the narration, you know, right there. Scorsese's doing a faux Scorsese
yes,
film.
Yes, he is.
Okay. but David O. Russell is in on the joke,
yep.
And you should be too, because everything about this movie works. The performances are top-notch. Nick, you're right that Bradley Cooper's performance gets funnier every time you see it. The more you see it, when he can't get laid and he just starts screaming,
I just
laughing out loud.
It's just,
laughing out loud.
And the imitation that he does of Louis C.K. is one of
the
funniest things I've seen all year.
Great. And you never hear the end of the fishing story.
No, you never
hear the end of the fishing story. But no, it is everything about it. It's a wonderful forge of, you know, what happened with the Abscam. It's not, you know, it's not a film you should go in looking for true story
right.
type stuff. But it's wonderfully entertaining.
Okay. All right. Let's save our top five. We'll take a quick break, and we've got our top five, and then we've got the worst, and we've got all our great subcategories that we always have a good time doing.
Yeah.
And the phone lines are open. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720. And anybody who wants to call in, please do so right now, and we'll take your calls on WGN.
Just what is it that you want to do?
We want to get loaded, and we want to have a good time.
Ah, yes. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. From the world's end, the first movie that made all of our top 10 lists is The World's End. Great, great film. We're having a good time here. Eric Childress and Colin Suter join me every Saturday to review movies. And then every year we do this special where we cover the entire year. And if you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. We have given our 15 movies so far, and then we're going to do our top five now. But let's, again, recap very quickly for those people who are just tuning in. Our number 20 on my list is Your Next. 19 is Evil Dead. 18, Warm Bodies. 17, The Way, Way Back. 16, Fast and Furious 6. 15, Short Term 12. 14, Prisoners. 13, Dallas Buyers Club. 12, Disconnect. 11, The Spectacular Now, and then my top 10. 10, The World's End. 9, Stories We Tell. 8, Before Midnight. 7, Inside Llewyn Davis. And 6, The Act of Killing. And Colin.
Number 20, Prince Avalanche. Number 19, The Past. Number 18, 20 Feet from Stardom. Number 17, This is Martin Bonner. Number 16, Our Nixon. Number 15, Blue is the Warmest Color. Number 14, Upstream Color. Number 13, Inside Llewyn Davis. Number 12, Stories We Tell. Number 11, We Are What We Are. Number 10, The World's End. Number 9, The Hunt. Number 8, Mud. Number 7, American Hustle. And number 6, Nebraska.
Okay, number 20 on my list is I Declare War. 19, Drinking Buddies. 18, Enough Said. 17, Blanca Nieves. 16, We Are What We Are. 15, The Conjuring. 14, How to Make Money Selling Drugs. 13, The Act of Killing. 12, Short Term 12, 11, Side Effects, 10, Inside Llewyn Davis, 9, Captain Phillips, 8, The World's End, 7, Mud, and 6, American Hustle.
All right. Here we go. Top 5. Number 5 on my list is Mud, Jeff Nichols' latest great film. I am a huge fan of this guy's work ever since Shotgun Stories. And this is an amazing film. With a, like we mentioned, Ty Sheridan, this kid is unbelievable in this movie. And Matthew McConaughey is great. It's a beautifully told story. Sam Shepard rules in it as well. I thought it was tremendous in every way. And I love what this guy does. Jeff Nichols, just a huge fan. I love Take Shelter, and I love everything this guy does.
Called this very early. Shotgun Stories.
Shotgun Stories, you were very early on that boat. Yeah, I mean, when I saw Shotgun Stories, I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Whoa, you know, and so I jumped on board with this guy right out of the gate, and I love his movies, and this is a terrific movie. And we mentioned Ty Sheridan; it's the best child performance in years. And you know, you were talking about how it's about first loves and stuff like that, and getting your heart broken and stuff. There is an unbelievably heartbreaking scene that is wordless that takes place in a bar in this movie that I was just beside myself. And that his when he goes off on McConaughey at the end. It's just incredible acting, just incredible acting, and way beyond this kid's years.
Yeah.
So, Mud, number 5 on my list.
Number 5 is another one-word, three-letter title, Her, Spike Jonze's Her, with Joaquin Phoenix. And, you know, just I know we're going to hear more about it in the next few minutes, but, you know, this is, I think, just this is a movie that accomplishes so much. With a very simple storyline. I think it's this decade's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind in terms of what it has to say about relationships using a storyline that is pretty, you know, science fiction-y. But it doesn't go out of its way to sort of bludgeon you with a message about technology and our lives and everything like that. It's a love story first and foremost, and not a comedy, you stupid Golden Globes people.
It's not a comedy.
You know, I mean,
listen to us. It's not a comedy.
It's not a comedy. Yeah, it's not a comedy. It is a tragedy.
Yes, it is.
Oh, the memories this movie conjures up. Anyway,
and yet it's funny.
There are funny moments in it.
But it's not a comedy.
It is not a comedy. So yeah, my number 5 is Her.
Okay. Eric.
Okay, my number 5 could be considered a comedy or not, but it's Nebraska, Alexander Payne's film. I think it's his best film since Election on my Payne list. You know, there's not enough superlatives to say about Bruce Dern. Or anyone in this cast, Will Forte, June Squibb,
Stacy Keach,
just a remarkable jackass in this movie. I mean, this is a movie, you know, again, it's a simple premise about a guy, you know, thinks he's won $1 million and it's a road trip movie for Alexander Payne, you know, it's different for him. but this is a movie about the American dream and the sort of the quest for it, the loss of it. And like the best, you know, filmmakers, you know, the Coens, you know, especially, you know, and Alexander Payne, the more once you think you have these characters figured out and who the archetypes that they sort of are, they reveal more layers, and you peel back throughout the film. And by the end of the movie, it's completely heartbreaking, and the final moments between Bruce Dern and Will Forte. Just beautiful is the word to use. So Nebraska is my number 5.
Number 4, Nebraska. The titles are going to be kind of repeated here, I think, at this point. Nebraska, number 4 on my list. I echo everything that Eric has stated. I still my favorite, but my favorite Alexander Payne movie still remains Sideways. And but this is just a great piece of work. I do want to mention a couple of things that we haven't mentioned yet. The cinematography by Fiedon Papamichael is absolutely beautiful, black and white cinematography.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that is perfectly shot in black and white and deserved to be shot in black and white. You know, all the performances are great. I do want to mention though. It's that Alexander Payne thing, as we've mentioned before. He's the most aptly named director of all time because there's a painful quality to all of his movies, but in a good way. But I do want to mention how funny some of the stuff is in this movie. These two dudes who play cousins in this movie, there's a scene. I'm telling you, it's probably the hardest I've laughed at a movie all year, where they cannot believe it took them 2 days to drive from Billings, and they will not let it up. They will not give up. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. That scene and the scene where everybody's watching the football game are two of the funniest scenes in the film year of of any movie. And yet, June Squibb.
Yeah.
Also does something at a graveyard.
Oh my god!
Oh my!
That
Lord.
Almost knocked me off my chair. And wonderful performance when she finally. There's a part in the film where the family wants money from Bruce Dern because he's under the impression that he's going to get $1 million, and everybody has heard about it. Now, of course, they're the leeches.
Yeah.
And they want money. And her response to them is that, one.
That's
of the,
my
is,
my favorite scene in the movie. Oh, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
It is absolutely awesome, and a beautiful ending that really, really pays off with emotion. It's a tremendous movie, and Alexander Payne continues to make great films, and this fits into that. So that's my number four. All right,
my number four is Before Midnight, a movie that I thought that really shot up there the second time. And you're right, it's the best one of the three, and that's really saying something considering how strong the first two are.
Yep.
And that scene in the hotel, I mean, it turns the whole series on its ear, because I really did not know where this was going to end.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's really painful to watch. And in a way, kind of thrilling too, you know. Just hearing these two finally, you know, have a conversation that is not all about, you know, the wonders of the world or the absurdities of the world or the absurdities of each other and their relationship. No, this is about something that's been boiling under them for many years now, and it's finally coming to the surface. It's an amazing thing to watch. And pretty gutsy thing to do too. So yeah, number four, Before Midnight.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. My number four is Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity. Just a knockout wonder of a science fiction film. You know, people like to throw the word the term game changer around. But this is one of those moments where you know it watching it that people are going to try to emulate this film for years
for
and try
years
to copy
to
it.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a bunch of films in the last few years where you've had people stranded in sections. You had All Is Lost this year. Kon-Tiki had Life of Pi last year. But this is far superior, the best of the bunch. Technically proficient in every possible way, and also about something. It's it's a nail biting film for a good tight 83 minutes. That's a wonder in itself. But the Sandra Bullock giving the best performance of her career, much better than her Oscar winning performance. I think she should win the Oscar this year. At least the one amongst who are going to be nominated. Her monologues, when she's alone and she starts to hallucinate and whatnot are just wonderful to watch. And the ending is everything about this movie is just completely satisfying. I held my breath for 84, 85 minutes, and I will watch it anytime.
Yeah. All right. Number three on my list is American Hustle. One of the most flat out entertaining movies of the year. Just fun. And I like the fact that you refer to it that he's in on the joke. This is just it, and by the way, five of the best performances of the year for my money. And everybody's tremendous in this movie, and they're having a blast. Everybody involved in this movie is so clearly having a good time. Michael Pena is hilarious in this movie too. He doesn't get mentioned a lot, but he's very, very funny. What can you say about Jennifer Lawrence? She's a treasure. This girl, and she's so funny in this movie. I mean, she's
ridiculous.
She has this performance of Live and Let Die that is one of the highlights of the movie year. And I've become a Bradley Cooper fan over the past couple of years because he's doing good movies now.
Yes,
yeah.
And he's hilarious in this movie. I don't even know what to say. And best, the soundtrack is unbelievable. All these great songs from the 70s. They pulled out an old ELO song one of my favorite ELO songs when I was a kid. And they use it like three times in the movie perfectly. The use of music is fantastic. The clothes are great. Everything about it is, this is just a big, damned entertaining movie. And I had a blast watching it. I'm not going to give it away, but there's a fantastic cameo in this movie that I did not know about, but was happy to see. American Hustle. I just love it. So, all right. Yeah. Count.
My number three has been mentioned. It is The Act of Killing. The best documentary I've seen since, I think, Stevie, back 10 years ago from Steve James. This is just one of those movies that just, you know, knocked me out. And I've seen it three times. And it just... the absurdity, the just the jaw-dropping moments where you just think, did he just say that?
Yeah.
You know, and did he say that with a laugh? Oh my God! I mean, if you want to see how screwed up some of the other parts of the world are, I mean, this is a good place to start.
Yeah.
It is unlike. I mean, you're getting a glimpse into the world of something that you couldn't even dream about seeing in a documentary. And like Eric said, I mean, there's a character in this movie, you know, who is, you know, sort of the through line to the whole thing. And he's killed, God knows, you know, thousands of people in brutal, barbaric ways. And, you know, his journey through this thing is, it culminates in a scene that is just haunting and appropriate. And it stays with me. I mean, there's just so many things you can say about this movie, and the director of the film, he taped a little introduction and put it at the top of the film when it came out in theaters, when it played at the Music Box over the summer, saying, you know, you can laugh, you have permission to laugh, because there are absurd things in this movie that, what else can you do?
Yeah.
But you will also be horrified at the same time. It's an unbelievable experience.
It really is, and it's difficult to describe what it's like to see this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. So, all right, that's number three. And Eric?
My number three is Before Midnight. I think it's all been on all of our top 10 lists.
Yes.
Before Midnight, yeah.
Yep.
And I think this is one of the most remarkable trilogies that's ever been created. You know, I mean, Michael Apted's got his Up series. This is sort of their Up series, but in scripted form. And watching the evolution of these characters over the years. I mean, the first time I saw Before Sunrise, I didn't like it. I was in an age where I thought these, you know, Ethan Hawke was kind of a D-bag, and, you know, he was one of these hipster guys. Didn't help that it was a year after Reality Bites, but that's, you know, never mind that. Because
thanks for bringing up Reality Bites.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. But where we've come with these characters, like Khan said, to see this hotel sequence,
it's unbelievable.
That's like a half hour of film of them just sparring with each other, and it's like an action sequence.
It
really is, and there's not a false word said in there, and you understand where both of these characters are coming from, and where their neuroses and where they want to take this relationship and where they want to keep this relationship. And Ethan Hawke, you know, she says some horrible things to him. He says some horrible things to her. And it's funny and it's thrilling. And yet it all comes full circle at the end to what can only be described as a perfect conclusion to this series.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel for these characters. You want these characters to be together, you know, the way that, you know, I would love to watch this trilogy with Mudd. And see what he thinks of this movie. He'd probably want to kill someone by the end of it. But no, Before Midnight, it's a remarkable achievement.
Wow. Okay. All right, we got two left on our top 10, and we're going to do that right after we take this break on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trip Tower. The remarkable score for Gravity. This is what we're listening to right here. It adds to the effectiveness of the movie pretty immeasurably. And it's Colin and Eric are here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're down to our top two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the worst, and then we've got our subcategories. So here we go. Number two on my list is Her, which is just a heartbreaking movie, man.
It's not a comedy.
It killed me. This movie killed me. I watched it. I've seen it twice. And Joaquin Phoenix is fantastic in it. And I personally think that Scarlett Johansson deserves an Oscar nomination. I know it's only her voice, but it's a great performance. I just think it's a remarkable movie. It's about relationships. It's about technology without being really blatant about it. But it is just this movie about loneliness and relationships and Chris Pratt is awesome in it. And it's just a beautiful movie about a guy who falls in love with his operating system. And there's so much going on in this film that I took so much from it. And it was an emotional experience, unlike any other that I've had watching a movie this year. I absolutely loved it. So Her is number two on my list.
Number two on my list is a movie that was mentioned earlier in the show, and that's Short Term 12. I think there's something wonderful about how natural and believable every single thing in this movie is, from the casting to the dialogue. Just every scene in it just has a truthfulness that is, I don't want to say rare in indie films, but there's something about this one that just felt more pure. There's the empathy that this movie has for its characters. I have a really hard time with movies about people with mental illness of some kind. Movies that are like quirky, about it.
Yeah,
that it just drives
me
nuts.
What was that movie with Zach Galifianakis and the?
It's kind of a funny story.
That's the kind of movie that drives me nuts. Yeah. And this is a movie that, steers clear of that kind of convention in regards to its subject matter. It's about, dealing with these kinds of people who have these issues when you still have issues on your own that you still haven't figured out. That, you're sort of on the border of being, like the patients or the people that you work with. It's a movie that affected me on many different levels. And, you said it earlier, I kind of wish it didn't sort of fly under the radar for most people, but it did. It needed a bigger push or from a bigger studio or something just to, get it out there.
It deserved a much better fate than it
got. Yeah. Is it on DVD yet or no?
It's coming out, next, the 14th, this month.
Okay.
Yeah.
People should definitely check this movie out. It's Short Term 12, and it's, just a great, great film.
Okay. And Eric, number two.
We've talked about a number of documentaries, and I think there are two this year that sort of changed the form in a way. One was The Act of Killing. The other is Sarah Polley's Stories We Tell, and it's my number two. You both used the word brave in describing this movie. I think it's original and audacious, and a film that could have been, very, just sort of, pretentious in a way and sort of like a who cares about, Sarah Polley's family and her history and whatnot, a question that's asked, several times throughout the film. But then you realize that this is a film about storytelling. It's a film about movies. It's about, the way that, memories and film can manipulate the thing. It's, it's a movie about true stories and how stories can change the world and the way that you tell a story to someone, immediately your perception of whoever's involved with that story immediately changes and pay it forward. It's a remarkable achievement in the way that, it's a remarkably edited film. It has twists and turns that you don't see coming. It has one of the funniest final moments of the year. It's a mystery. It's a comedy. It's a drama. There's so many things going on with this film that it was remarkable to watch a second time, knowing all the twists and turns, and it still completely holds up and knocked me on my my seat. So, Stories We Tell is my number two film of the year.
All right. Here we're gonna take a break, and then right after the 11 o'clock news, we will unveil our number one movies of the year and do the worst and our subcategories. And of course, the phone lines are open if you would like to join us. 312-981-7200. The best movies of the year will be announced, in our opinion, coming up right after the break and the news.